I was born in North London, and my parents, my mother is an academic art historian and curator of exhibitions. My father is a translator of poetry. So I guess it's on the artistic side of the spectrum.
Did you start taking music lessons very early on?
I was playing the piano for myself very early. I can't remember when I started, it's the usual story. But started learning piano strangely late. I was about 11, which is late. But I think it was because I was so determined to just play how I wanted. And no one ever thought to say, you know, my parents were the opposite of, let's say, a parent who says, you've got to learn the violin from the age of three or something like that. They were the opposite of that. They didn't want to push me into anything. And actually, I had to almost say, you know, at some point, I think I should be pushed a little bit to have lessons. And they said, oh, yeah, okay. You know, so I started learning when I was 11.
Your career has taken the form of pianist and conductor and composer. Have you ever felt the pressure to choose one path or the other? Or does it get competitive amongst those roles?
Well, if some law was passed that you were only allowed to do one of them, I would be compelled, I'm afraid, to choose composition, whether or not it's what I'm best at. I'm afraid that just has to come first, because in the end, you know, no one else can write my pieces, and other people can conduct as, you know, just as well as I can, and play the piano indeed. So that would be the answer.
But as a conductor, do you find that the pieces you conduct, for instance, this week with Sibelius and Prokofiev, do they somehow inform or offer new insights to ideas that you yourself are playing with as a composer?
I think, yes, absolutely. All the pieces in this program I've actually been very close to since early teenage years, so I'm sure there must be something I've learned from these three pieces over the years.
How did the creation of this program come about? Was it pretty much your sketching out of ideas, or did you work with the BSO to put the pieces together?
It was both, really. I mean, we got to the program fairly quickly, having decided that we'd like to have Sibelius' Lornata with my piano concerto in 7 days. They're both creation stories. One is the finish, obviously, and one is the Genesis one. And then we thought it would be nice for Kirill Gerstein, the pianist, to play a piano concerto too, but it would have to be a short one. So the obvious one is Prokofiev's first concerto, which is the most brilliant of all short piano concertos, if not all piano concertos. And I think, and Sibelius' Sixth Symphony complements Lornata very well, because it's Sibelius in his most purified kind of remote mood.
What does that mean? Is Sibelius in his most purified?
Well, he said that the Sixth Symphony, he was offering the public a clear, cool glass of water in the age of cocktails. Well, it was actually the 20s, you know, really. And that's really what it is. People often say it's austere. It's not that at all. It's just wonderfully pure. There's no additives in it, if you like. And it's, you really feel it's him writing it, you know, as for the angels or something, rather than. And the Lornata, the song that Dawn Upshaw is going to sing, it's 9 minutes long. I mean, it's not exactly a song. It's more of a tone poem with voice. It's one of Sibelius's most visionary, not possibly the most visionary piece he wrote. It's dated 1911 to 12, which actually puts it in the same year as the Prokofiev Piano Concerto, which is, you know, it's basically 100 years ago, you know, more or less, give or take a year. But so much of the piece could have been written today. He opened a door in Lornata into harmonic worlds that were not available to anyone else at that time. It's not atonal or anything like that. It's just highly extended, and the vision at the end of the piece of the sort of firmament being created from this egg that sort of is just a tremendous sound, and the harmony is very unusual indeed. So I'd love to do this piece, and in Symphony Hall it will, I hope, sound particularly mysterious and wonderful with that greatest of all acoustics.
the creation theme of In 7 Days makes an obvious pairing for Luonnotar, as you said. Did you have Luonnotar in mind at all as you created In 7 Days?
Absolutely not. It's the funniest thing. And then it's only doing them in the same program I realize. I mean, at some subconscious level, I'm quite sure that his way of describing the kind of pre-creation of the beginning of the piece with the strings and the very measured tremolo. And I realize now, just doing this concert, that that's what I've done as well. But it, the music's quite different. I mean, it's not the same effect at all, as it's not the same kind of creation myth. But it was not conscious, but almost certainly unconscious. Yeah.
Was creation always what you wanted to accomplish with In 7 Days? And was that part of the commission? Or was it simply the idea you brought to the table when accepting the commission?
It was my idea, partly because the commission was actually for a work with a visual element. I mean, I call it a ballet, but it's not actually with dancers, it's with video. And the piece is often done that way. We've done it many times that way. So I wanted it to have some kind of narrative structure, and that perhaps involved transformations of one thing into another thing in a fairly, you know, like a geometrical development sort of way. And the most obvious, so suddenly popped into my head, the most perfect structure for that would be the creation myth. And in a way, it's a little bit of a metaphor for, you know, a variation form. I mean, you know, whether it's creation or evolution, I won't get into that now, but it's sort of some form of variation is involved. And it's very clear the way the story is told in Genesis, that we're talking about, it's not kind of seven different things happening. It's a sequence. They develop one from the other. So that's rather like the process of musical variation. And that's what it really is, a set of variations of, in a sense, this piece. Because that it comes from one common idea, which is kind of heard for the first time, is completely pure form just before the end. But you hear it all the way through in kind of various or other fragmented or whatever forms. So we felt that some places the video element sits really comfortably, some halls and some kind of situations. And we all felt that in Boston it wouldn't be quite, not for the, maybe if we come back we'll do it with the video, but I think it's more comfortable to do it without in this hall. It depends on the hall a bit.
Was it also always conceived as a piano concerto type of piece?
Yeah, it is. It's a kind of concertante. More in the mold of, I don't know, the Prometheus of Scriabin or something like that. It's not really a concerto exactly, but the piano is obviously concertante soloist. The thing is, he comes in with, as it were, light in the first day when it's Let There Be Light. Or it's not, you know, There Was Light. That's the entrance of the piano. So I've made the bit before it quite long because, of course, no matter whether you look at it biblically or scientifically, that was several billion years, you know, so it's a long time. First day is by far the longest. It's like half the piece, really, almost. And it's a little bit also that I always love that the piano concerto by Busoni, which has an extraordinarily long tutti, and you think it's going to be a symphony, and then the soloist has been minding his own business, and suddenly it comes crashing in with this tremendous thing, which is so huge that the orchestra just stops playing in shock. So I've always liked that. So I have a little bit influence from that.
What helps you to decide what commissions to take? You must have people knocking on your door all the time.
It's a process of a little bit serendipity or a give and take. But I think sometimes someone can say, would you like to write such and such? And I'd never have thought of it, and it suddenly seems like a good idea. But usually it's pretty much, I might have a few, you know, possible formats floating around in my head. And, if somebody says, we'd like such and such, I think, oh, that could be this one. And one just hopes they coincide more often than not.
Is there anything in particular that you can mention that's coming up in the way of a premiere that we can look forward to?
The piece I'm finishing now is for the BBC Proms next year, and it's actually to commemorate Lutosławski's 100th anniversary. And it's a kind of one act scene, operatic scene for two singers. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. When I get back to London, that's what I'll be finishing.
Thomas Addis, thank you for taking some time today.
Thank you so much.